Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayefsky. We're up to Parshas Devarim, Shabbos Chazon, and very fitting that we read these Parshas during the 3 weeks. Of course, when we get up to Eicha Esol of Adi, we lane it by Sheni, we lane it with the truck from Eicha. And the thought process here is the Parsha is in some ways a little strange because Moshe begins now. God is giving him license to give his own personal message, and maybe he could connect with them as opposed to previously when they made all these missteps. But we see in last week's parasha, when we had in Masse, the parasha begins with their entire journey of 42 masos, 42 journeys that they had, stops along the way, from the time that they began to leave Mitzrayim until they made it all the way now to their final destination with a very short time to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And now Moshe begins to pour out his heart. But of course, he begins by telling them interesting things that he's trying to put on a plane. He pours out his heart and tells them, and God actually is beginning the first two psukim. Of course, this time at the beginning when Moshe's name is mentioned, it will be the last time for a number of sedras that his name will be mentioned because, of course, it's Moshe speaking. But the fact remains, he says, Acharoser yome chorev derech har seir. I just want to let you know, he's telling you, that this journey that we made, all 42 stops, were in reality, could have been made in 11 days. That's all. But all because of your misdoings, your misdeeds of your fathers and some of you, obviously, in the latter part of it. Now the problem became, it lengthened itself to 44 years. He's saying, what's the point of saying Acharoser yome chorev or 11 days from chorev, which of course is amazing when you think about how the circuitous route that they took to get to Eretz Yisrael, circling the Sinai Peninsula all the way up through Saudi Arabia, the outer rim, and up until where they finally crossed the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael. And this took 40 years. Could have been done in 11 days. And now Moshe begins with sort of on some level who would appear on the surface to be a repeat of some of last week's parsha when we explained all 42 stops along the way. And Moshe begins to repeat various stops that they made along the way now. And one might ask ourselves, why is that exactly? But of course, as with everything, God has a plan here. Moshe is on another level, not on the level of God, certainly, but he is trying to put it in his own words and saying the problems that we had are down to certain things. And what he's trying to impress upon them, there's various situations that I could, what took four from 11-day trip that took 40 years, is very simple. There are those of you who would like to blame God for the fact that it took 40 years. We've heard all the stories along the way. People complain. There are those that would like to pin the blame on me, that it was me who caused all the trouble. And then, of course, the third option is the problem was all your mistakes. What I need to tell you today, Moshe is telling them, it's not God, it's not me, it's you. And you are the ones who caused all of these problems that made it the 11-day trip to lengthen into 40 years. But the point of telling them all these things now is serves a different purpose here. We have a situation over here where even now, after these 603,550 people, less Kalev and maybe some of Shevet Levi and Yehoshua, have survived from those who left Mitzrayim. It's an amazing thing. What he wants to tell them over here when it says, Kikokvei HaShemayim Loro, what is that actually telling them? One would think that over the course of so many people died in such a short time, way more than the average with all the other catastrophes that happened along the way with the Egel, with the, in the last few weeks when we had 14,700 passing away, 24,000 in this Magefa, and then all the other people of the Mesei Midbar, and various other tragedies that happened along the way that caused so many deaths. But guess what? With all of that, they have replenished their ranks to even not only to the 603,000, but we know that they had a few thousand extra, which seems on the surface to be they were just spinning their wheels in the Midbar. But the reality is one would expect the population growth to have gone down significantly, but it has not. And Moshe is trying to explain to them, God has promised you the land, and God always keeps his promises. And the best way for me to explain that God keeps his promises is you're going into the land, you're going to have to conquer the land. But I must tell you, these certain places, Ammon and Moab, you can't start up with them. Ki livne lot nasati esar yirusha. Eretz Edom is off limits because Achenu b'nei Esav hayoshvim b'Seir. And those people, Esav, is still our brother. And various things of that nature. God is telling them, and what is the point of Moshe telling them this, that you can't start up with these people? They're not looking to put extra battles on their plate so that they can't do it. But God wants to assure them of one thing. The same way that God made a promise to Lot, who was never a great person, and Ammon and Moab certainly caused a lot of mayhem for Klal Yisrael and caused them a lot of grief. And that's why the Torah in Bamidbar will say that they can't marry in the people from Moab. While they can become Jews, they can't marry a woman from Moab and Ammon and Moab. And again, the same thing with other people that we said, B'nai Asa, we don't want them to be part of the scenario over here, but Achenu B'nai Esav, don't start with them. I made a promise to Yitzchak, and I made a promise to Avraham and Lot that their family members will survive, and I will give them a piece of land that it will be untouchable. And when I make a promise, even to the Rishoyim like Ammon and Moab, even to the Rishoyim like Esav, and even later on, when we have in Parshas Devarim, when it says, Lo sisa'ev mitzri ki ochicho ki gero yisa b'yartso, don't even start up with the Mitzriim. I don't want them to become part of Israel, but at least for a few generations, I want to see that they mean it. Dor Shlishi, they could have, a Mitzri can be, but all of these things, God puts restrictions on all these people. But I made a promise to all these people. And the same way I made a promise to them, the promise I made to you, and you weren't on their terrible level that they have when they didn't do all the things that they caused you such aggravation, and you are my chosen people. And do you think I wouldn't keep a promise to you when I promised Abraham, Ki lezarecha etnena, that I would give it to him, to his progeny, when I would give it to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? I made each of them a promise to give them the land. You think if I'm giving Ammon and Moab, I'm giving Esau, I'm putting all these things in front of you, do you think for 1 minute that I wouldn't keep my promise to you? You're going into the land. And that is why Moshe, at this point in telling them all these things. The one other question that I would ask over here, it's a very interesting one. From all the other places, if I wanted to get on a plane now, you see today we're allowed, Israel made a peace with Egypt, and Israelis, they visit Egypt. And it says we had in the last week's parsha, you know, Beloso Shuvesa Ometzraima, and we have in Shoftim and various things that Loso Shuba Derech HaZeot. I don't want you to go back to Egypt. Certainly, if from all the other people that caused you such grief that I told you to destroy, or I told you not to let them be part of the country or not even put so many restrictions on them, but just to, you know, not start up with them. But why is only on Mitzrayim, Lo Soshuv Baderech HaZeod, why would there be a restriction only on Mitzrayim? If I wanted to go to Iraq, if I wanted to go to Iran, if I'd be foolish enough to have the desire to go back to any of the other countries, to go south into the land of Esau, to go anywhere else, to any Arab country, it has no restriction to me. But why only on Mitzrayim am I not allowed to return to? And that is a very interesting question, but I like to suggest that the answer is because we know there's an expression that we say, end is good, all is good. And how many times that we had up to now from the time that they left Mitzrayim, they said, Nitno Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayima, that we would like to go back to Mitzrayim. And why would that be? Because unfortunately, or however you want to call it, for the last year when the Makos began in Mitzrayim, their life was a lot better than it had been previously. They sort of put out of their mind all the tragedies, all the loss of life in the difficult time that they had, the Avodah Kosha, the Kolabein Ha'ilot, Ha'yorot HaShlichu. All of a sudden, sort of, they wash it away and put it out of their minds. And God knows that as soon as I would say, if you want to go back to Egypt for a visit, and we know that there was very many years during the Middle Ages, certainly when the Rambam lived in Egypt, there was a time when the Jews were forced to live in those countries. They developed a pretty strong relationship, and they were able to live peacefully and got along very well. But if the Torah didn't put this restriction on us, we might be tempted to go back. We tend to forget all the things, and we see we close our eyes to a lot of the tzaras. As long as somebody throws us a bone, look at us in America today. We've been given, we like to refer to it as on some level a Medina Shel Chesed, and it certainly is. But the more that the government gives us, the more beholden we are to the people. And that becomes, and that is when they insinuate themselves into your life. When Napoleon, he was the first country in the late 1700s and early 1800s, when Napoleon was ruling that part of Europe, and he promised when he was, as peace came at some level, he promised the Jews total and complete citizenship, and they were overwhelmed, and they thought it was great, but there was a machlokus among the Jews at that time. What are the strings attached? The same thing happens when we go back to Mitzrayim, and then we begin to, more and more Israelis that would go back, or if we would go on a tour and visit Egypt, and we see the pyramids, and we see these things, and we start to think it's not so bad, and we end up giving them some of our money and various things. It's great to have peace, but lo soshuv baderech hazeod, because as opposed to going to Iran and Iraq or going back to Poland or even Germany, which some people obviously do, there is no love loss. I have no desire to go back to many countries that caused us a lot of grief. It still sticks in your throat many times. But Egypt, end is good, all is good. The last year, believe it or not, the Jews had fond memories, and God had to put that restriction. I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that if I let you go back to Egypt, this is the problem, and that you will no longer have that desire for Israel as much as I would want you to have. And these are the problems that we have, and these are the things that we want to keep away from. We have to mind our P's and Q's, what the Torah and what Moshe is telling us over here. And that's why he tells us all these things, and he's telling them all these terrible things that happened through the years. He wants to remind them of all the things and not to fall into the same trap. Vanisa, Vanafin, Vanar, Derech Midbar Moab. Remember all the tragedies that you had. Remember all these people. Even when you get over it, we tend to wipe away when things get better. We start to give, we start to make friends with people who are our enemies, who still want our destruction. And nothing has really changed. Halacha Esav Sona Liako. We can't forget that. We have to be weary. And God understands that the way the human mind works. And if he doesn't put these restrictions, he knows that we're going to fall into the same trap. And as we see that we do, and Jews, we have this wanderlust, and we have the ability to move to Eretz Yisrael. Those of us who are still here, not to say that we're guilty of it. Some of us want to move, but we find it very difficult. But there are those of us who perhaps can make the move, but there are those who make sacrifices and go back. And there are those, you see, even Israelis who leave. And what is the reason for that? The loss of bitachon, the losses that God gave us this land. And if we had the full total bitachon and emunah, as God has given us, that has God has asked us to have in him, and then that 11-day trip won't turn into 40 years. The fact that we don't have the faith to take that step, that may be only a small step, one small step for us, it may be seen like a giant step, but perhaps if we had the emunah placed in its proper place, it would turn into a shortness of the 40 years. As long as we don't have that belief, our time in Golos will continue until we come around to the idea that it all could be made much shorter if we had a different sense of value system. Have a good evening. Wish you well during the 9 days, and have a good week. Thank you very much.